Hello and welcome once again to Shepherd Staff. I'm Apostle Paul D. Young. We're so glad you're joining us today. If you don't know what Shepherd Staff is, I say this every week just because we have new people coming finding us all the time. Shepherd Staff is designed for pastors and church leaders. Now, if you're not either one of those, you're welcome to listen. I believe it'll help you. But my focus and my goal is to help pastors and leaders because I have a lot of experience and wisdom in those areas, seeing how I'm working on year 49 in the ministry, and I've been over the mountain and down the river enough times to learn some stuff, and some stuff I learned the hard way, some stuff I learned by being mentored by my pastor, who happened to be my dad. And I had the great privilege of working with him for a total of about 11 years. Associate pastor, youth pastor, assistant, all those positions. And he mentored me in ministry. You can go to Bible school, but Bible school does not prepare you for ministry. Most Bible schools are going to teach you Bible. That's good. That's good. But what I want to do is help you in ministry. And there are some very important things that in the Word that can help you. And that's exactly what we do each week. We're going to dig into the Word. We're going to draw on my years of experience and wisdom, and going to see if we can give you some nuggets, some things that can encourage you, help you, lift you, maybe help you avoid making some bad decisions, maybe help you out of some pits that you get yourself into. And I believe God has something good for you today. All right, we are going to continue this week from the subject we were on last week. If you didn't get last week's, go back and catch it. It's very good. We started into the area of the peace of God. Now, for a pastor, wow, I really don't know how in the world you would do this without accessing and relying on the peace of God. Because, boy, do you need it. Colossians 3:15 says, "And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you're called in one body, and be ye thankful." Listen, if we as leaders don't know how to walk and live governed by the peace of God, how in the world are we going to teach our people? You can't lead where you won't go. That's just not going to work. You can try to. You can try to teach people just because it's in the Word, just because it's there, won't be nearly as effective as something you're teaching that's in the Word and you are living it and you have lived it. See, that's what they need. They need us to lead them where we have already been and where we are. That's what they need. Now, the peace of God, it says, let the peace of God, let. That means the decision is yours. If the peace of God is not ruling in your heart and in your mind by Christ Jesus, the problem is not on God's end. The problem is on your end. And that's not to put you under condemnation or anything. That is just to make it clear so you know what to do. I don't want to put anybody down. I want to lift you up. But sometimes I have to show you what's wrong in order to help you get up. All right. The Amplified there says this. It says, "And let the peace, soul harmony, which comes from Christ's rule, act as umpire continually in your hearts." Act as an umpire, deciding and settling with finality all questions that arise in your minds in that peaceful state to which, as members of Christ's one body, you were also called to live and be thankful, appreciative, giving praise to God always. Now, notice what's going on here. First of all, it says the peace of God needs to act as an umpire, deciding and settling with finality any issue, any question, any thought. The umpire does not need to be argued with. I know I've watched some baseball games, and every once in a while there's a controversial call by the umpire. And oh boy, the manager comes out of the dugout, and half the team comes out, and there he's saying, no, that ball was foul, and the umpire says it was fair, and on they go, questioning the veracity of the call. And I understand men who are umpires sometimes make mistakes. It's really hard to hold your position with all the instant playback we have on TV now. And boy, they show everything. I like to watch. They put that little box there. I'm not a baseball player, but I like to watch sometimes. And they put that box, and you can tell exactly where the ball is, where it was when it passed them, the batter. And then you're watching that umpire see, is it a strike? Is it not a strike? That one was a little bit outside. We have that problem with humans. We do not have that problem with God. God never gets it wrong. Never. So there is no reason whatsoever to argue with the umpire of the peace of God. If God's peace is disturbed in you, something's wrong. It's not right. Something needs to be thrown out, stopped, canceled, changed, something. Because let the peace of God rule or act as an umpire continually. Now listen, I have been on the wrong end of this. I have been, now, financially, in leadership, I've made the mistakes. I'm trying to keep you from making them. I've had the peace of God call something and say, not right, don't do it, don't go there. And I have ignored that. Because everything looked ginger peachy sweet. And then I have had everything go ginger peachy sour and rotten and fall apart. And the problem is, for those of us in leadership, when we do something that's wrong, when we make a wrong decision, it not just affects us. It affects people in the church. People can get hurt. And if you have a pastor's heart, let me tell you something. You don't want people getting hurt. You're trying to help them, not hurt them. But that's the fallout from ignoring the peace of God in your heart. Now, keep in mind, where is the peace of God? It's here in your heart. It's not up here. It's down here. Sometimes you can have something that up here, everything checks out. Everything looks good. But if the peace of God down here, I like to say, is acting like a square peg trying to get into a round hole, it doesn't work. Just there's something down here just going, eh. You better listen. This is many, many years. And many, many failures talking here. Because I have been through this enough times. I have skinned my shins enough times to know that when the peace of God is disturbed, you're going the wrong way. You're about to do the wrong thing. Stop whatever it is you're doing. Don't do it. Put it on hold. Wait. There is a reason. There is always a reason, but that does not mean you know the reason. God is not obligated to tell you everything. It's kind of like when you're raising kids in middle school, junior high, as we used to call it. As a parent, you're not obligated to tell your kids why you make a decision you do. Now, if you can turn it into a teaching moment and teach them and instruct them, but you know, sometimes when they're that age, they don't want to hear the reason. They just want what they want. And there was a time I said to my oldest daughter, I think she was 14 or 15, and she wanted permission to do something. I don't remember what it was, but I do remember what I told her. I told her, I said, no, you can't. But why? Why? How come I can't? You know, all of that. And I said to her, I said, when you are 17, I will explain it. She didn't like that answer. But see, I knew when she got to 17, I didn't have to explain it because she had grown, she had matured, she had learned, and she didn't even have to ask the question now because she began to see some of what I saw. And as she even got older, she saw more. She going, yeah, Dad, you were right. All right. The peace of God is always right. Now, I want you to notice something else here in Colossians 3:15 in the Amplified. It says, let the peace of God act as an umpire continually in your hearts. Now, listen to what it says. Deciding and settling with finality all questions, now listen to this, that arise in your minds. The peace of God is not in your mind. The peace of God is in your heart. Now remember, you are a spirit. You have a soul, mind, will, and emotions. You live in a body, three parts. The design of God is for you to rule and run your life out of your spirit, your born-again spirit, where the Holy Ghost dwells, where God speaks to you, where the peace of God is supposed to dwell and rule. Now that's up to you. Because remember, it says, let the peace. You let. You make a decision in your heart. I am going to live by the peace of God. And that means anytime the peace is agitated, disturbed, sometimes God will just say no. Sometimes you'll get a very firm no in your spirit. But sometimes you just get the sense of something is amiss. Something is wrong. Listen, that's the peace of God being disturbed. And if something disturbs the peace of God, it's wrong. Back off. Take a break. Delay. Do something. Don't do what you're about to do if the peace of God is disturbed. Because the only time it's disturbed is when something's wrong. You may not know exactly what is wrong, but you know something's wrong. This is how we let and allow the peace of God to act as the umpire. If the umpire says it's not good, then it's not good, regardless of what it looks like. Boy, Apostle, you're just beating this horse to death. Yes, I am, and I'm going to keep doing it. Why? Because I have watched so many people ignore the peace of God. And I have seen the hurt, the pain, the consequences, and I don't want you to go there. I'm trying to help you. Now, sometimes we need a help out of a situation, and sometimes we need help to not get in a situation. Wow. Okay. Let's go to Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5. Still talking about peace, 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 the peace of God. Peace is to be a guard. It's to be an umpire, to be a governor. It's supposed to govern our lives. Who's governing your life? You or the peace of God? Because if it's you, I'm going to probably bet that you've had some gnarly stuff. Stop doing that. Begin to walk, letting, allowing, commissioning the peace of God to be the umpire in your heart. Now, let's look at this story here in Mark chapter 5. It's a very familiar story. The woman with the issue of blood. Now, this woman heard of Jesus. Now, I don't know if she heard him preach somewhere. She heard someone repeat what he preached, but she heard. See, that's the beginning of how faith is going to work. She's about to act in faith, but she heard. She got a word, got into her. And she, in verse 27, when she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind, touched his garment, for she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. Praise God. And straightway, the fountain of her blood was dried up. She felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. Thank God. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue or power had gone out of him, turned him about in the press. See, this wasn't the faith of Jesus. This was a woman walking in faith. And he said, who touched my clothes? And his disciples said, you see everybody bumping into you and thronging you. What do you mean, who touched you? Everybody's bumping into you. And he looked around about, verse 32, to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. So she is healed. This is good. A miracle just happened. Verse 34. And he said unto her, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. Your faith has made you whole. You believed God. You believed the word. But then he says, go in peace. Amplified reads this way. And he said to her, daughter, your faith, your trust, confidence in me, springing from faith in God, has restored you to health. Now listen to this. Go in or into peace and be continually healed and freed from your distressing bodily disease. Go into peace. They talk about the peace of God. The inference here is if this woman doesn't go into peace, she's not going to be continually healed. She's not going to be free from this disease. You say, wait a minute. She was healed. There was a miracle. Yes, there was a miracle. But you know, the devil would like to bring it back. The enemy would like to bring sickness and disease back on you. I have seen this happen many, many times. And oftentimes when I have a healing service, I will instruct the people that are healed. Yes, you are healed. But yes, the enemy will try to bring it back because he's gotten kicked out. He wants to see if you'll accept it. I remember one lady in a meeting I did. This was up in Washington State. She was healed. I mean, she was just like, woo, glory to God. And I told her, and I told everybody that night, but I told her specifically, I said, the day is coming that the enemy is going to try to bring this back. And it's going to depend on your response whether it's going to come back or not. You don't have to accept it. You can say, no, I walk in health in Jesus' name. And if you do, it'll go. But if you say, oh, there it is. Oh, I guess I'm not healed. You got it back right there. You just accepted it. Don't accept sickness, disease, or pain. And I was back at that same church, had another meeting there several years later. This lady came up to me and she told me, you know, you shared that with me and it happened exactly like you said. She said it was several months later. I was ironing. Does anybody do that anymore? She was ironing. She said, and all of a sudden that pain that I was healed from, that pain came back. And she said, it just so happened, not coincidence, I was listening to a tape. This is back when cassette tapes. And I heard my voice and your voice when you instructed me on that. And then that pain came and I remembered what you said. And I said, no devil, no disease, no, you're not welcome here. I am healed. She said that pain left me and I haven't had a problem since. Hallelujah. I love success stories of the power of God when people will allow God to move in their lives. Now, here it says, Jesus told this woman, go into peace. Now notice there's no instruction to come out. If God tells you to go into something, stay in it. Stay there. It's kind of like the whole armor of God. I've heard people talk about put it on every morning. No, no. The Lord told us put on the whole armor of God. There is no instruction to take it off. So once you put it on, keep it on. Always. Always. Go into peace. When you have no peace, it's an open door for the enemy. The enemy would love to just slide in there with a ache, with a pain, and tell you, oh, this is going to be bad. After all, look how old you are. What in the world does that have to do with it? Come on now. What does your age have to do with pain and suffering and sickness and disease? Nothing. I like the verse that says, Moses was old, but his eye was not dim, nor his strength abated. He was still going strong when he finally got to the end of his life. I want to still be going strong when I get to the end. Amen. Same for you. The truth is, you look at the word, age has nothing to do with the healing power of God or his will that you walk in health. No. But if you don't have peace, if you haven't decided that I'm going to have the peace of God umpire in my heart, that thought will come along, that ache will come, that pain will come. Some disease will be running around the country and it'll be on the news and that thought will come, you got this. Now, the peace of God will right now be going, nope, that's wrong. Wrong answer. And you can kick it out. But if you're not walking in peace, you'll miss some stuff that's coming along that you shouldn't be accepting, shouldn't be listening to, shouldn't be agreeing to. Cast down, I wrote this in my notes, cast down every thought not connected to peace. If it's not connected to the peace of God, kick it out. Do not allow it in your mind. Do not allow it to stay in your mind. Thoughts can be suggested to you, but you don't have to let them stay. I like what I believe is Brother Hagin said. He said, you can't stop the birds from flying over your head, but you can certainly stop them from building a nest in your hair. The thought may go through your head, but you can stop it from staying by rejecting that thought, saying, no, that goes contrary to the word. I reject that. I refuse that. I will not think on that. See, if you don't reject it, it's going to hang around. It's going to nibble at you. It's going to bug you. It's just going to keep tapping. It's going to be like a woodpecker just tapping on your skull. Cast down every thought not connected to peace. There's three enemies of peace: worry, doubt, and fear. Those are enemies of the peace of God. Oh, some of you are professional worriers. You think that's just how you're supposed to live. No. In fact, according to the Bible, the B-I-B-L-E, worry is sin.
What do you mean worry is sin?
Because Jesus told us not to do it. Hey, anything else Jesus told us not to do, period, is sin. Jesus said, where's that at? Oh, here we go. Jesus said, take no anxious thought. The word anxious means worry-filled thought. If there's worry, if a thought is wrapped up in worry, you need to reject it. That's not connected with peace. You're not going to be worrying and have peace at the same time. Not going to happen. No. Worry, doubt, and fear. And worry and doubt are based in fear. Yeah, not good. Kick them out. Kick them out with a vengeance. Refuse them. Speak the word. Always come back. What does the word say? What does the word say? Sometimes it takes a little bit to break your habit, because many people have a habit of worrying. They have a habit of doubting. Kick it out. Kick fear out. The word tells us that perfect love or mature love casts out all fear. The love of God. You're not going to walk in love and walk in fear. A lot of times people are in fear because they don't really believe the love of God for them. Well, I'm afraid God won't forgive me. You don't know the love of God, because he has already forgiven you. You just need to receive it. Hallelujah. So cast all of your cares upon him. See, if you've cast your care on him, then you can't pack it. And worrying is packing a problem that you don't have the answer to. See, if you have the answer to something, you don't worry about it. Okay, I got a bill. Okay, bill's $100. Okay, in this hand, I got $100. Okay, this is for this. We pay it, and that's it. I don't have to worry about it because there's the answer. If I have the answer, there's no reason to worry. But here's the thing. If you don't know what the answer is, you cast your care upon Jesus. You cast your care upon him because he cares for you. And if I have cast the care on him, then I don't have to worry about it because he is my answer. And he will bring the answer to me. He might bring the money. He might bring an idea. He might bring wisdom. He's got the answer. And I'm going to trust him. I refuse to worry about anything. I refuse to have any anxious thought about anything. You know, working with people in a church, in a ministry, there's plenty of opportunities to get anxious about people. Are they doing it right? Are they slipping into this? They're messing up again. They're not doing what the word says. You were not designed to carry that. You're designed, if you're a pastor, you're designed to, with the anointing of God, instruct, train, equip, reprove, rebuke, exhort. You're designed to do that, but you do that with the power of God, with the anointing of God. And he helps you. Praise God. But that doesn't mean you have to carry everything that is wrong with people. You pray for them. You cast your care on him. Hallelujah. And walk in the peace of God. Whew. Oh, that's good. That is good. That is good. Now, it is your choice. Your choice. I challenge you to determine that you are going to continually walk, live, sleep, eat, everything with the peace of God as umpire. And if it's not connected to peace, you're kicking it out. Let me tell you, you're going to have a much better life, much better ministry when you do that. If something's bothering you, you're carrying it. If you don't have the answer, lay it on him. Let him carry it. He's got big shoulders. He can handle it. And the truth is, he already knows what the answer is. Well, why didn't he tell me? Because he wants you to trust him. He wants you to trust him that he does have and know the answer. And that he will reveal it, bring it, whatever, in its proper time. I remember years ago when we went through something we called financial hell. Yeah, it wasn't fun. And I had all these bills, and I couldn't pay them. And they were stacking up, and I was starting to get phone calls. And finally I said, God, those are your bills. I've been trying to carry them. I said, those are yours. When you give me the money, I will pay. And then I went on and lived my life, even though that financial hell went on for several years. People around me didn't know it because I wasn't carrying it. I cast my care upon him, and he brought us through time after time after time. We would get a shut-off notice. Oh, yeah, they're going to shut your stuff off. And the day before, or the day of, they said, this is it. We don't have payment by today. You're getting shut off. The money would come in. And you know what I learned? I learned during that time to trust God at a higher level than I ever have before. And I learned not to just trust God with the finances. I learned trust God with everything. Doesn't mean I'm irresponsible. Doesn't mean I just blow money when I get it. Doesn't mean that I do dumb things. But I am not going to pack and carry what he said he would for me. I'm going to trust him. I'm going to live and walk in the peace of God. Brother, sister, do that. Determine you're going to do that. It takes a little bit of practice to learn to do it because you're going to have to deal with thoughts. You're going to have to discipline your mind. You cannot be lazy mentally. You've got to rise up out of your spirit and tell your mind what it will and will not think on. You'd be amazed how good this works because it does work. That's why Jesus said, that's why the word says, let the peace of God rule in your hearts and your minds. But it's not going to rule in your mind unless it's ruling in your heart and you rise up in your spirit and rule your mind. Praise God. This has been good stuff. I trust that I've been able to help you, encourage you, strengthen you for the work of the kingdom that is before you. Hallelujah. Till next time, oh, go to our website, wolife.org. Oh, we got all kinds of good stuff on there. There's all the audios are free. You can listen to them or download. You can get my whole series on peace. Oh, we go into a lot of stuff in that series on peace. A great series. I encourage you, go get it. Download it into your phone or device. Play it in your car. Let it build you up. Let it just bring the presence of God into your vehicle, into your home, wherever you're at. I believe it's going to help you. Praise God. Like to hear from you. Let us know you're listening. Tell others about Shepherd Staff. And together, we're going to build the kingdom. We'll see you next week right here on Shepherd Staff.